Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And say it very, very quietly, folks. Tottenham Hotspur,
we are top the league. So we are top
of the Premier League. How do you feel about this? Not surprised, obviously.
Let's see where we are in 37 weeks.
Correct. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But Spurs, a very, very good start. So you've got to be happy. Got to be happy with that.
I mean, I'm delighted. Absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
But
early days.
I am a realistic Spurs
early
fan.
Early days. Yes, early days.
Plenty of time to go Spursy yet.
As it is in FPL, guys, I've seen, listen, we are going to talk about ranks and stuff this week, but it makes no sense to do so, right? It makes absolutely no sense to do so. But we have had the answers to some of the summer's big questions. Should you go Kane? Should you go Haaland, etc.? That was a big question on everybody's lips over the summer. I think we know the answer to that, at least from game week one. It could all change next week, of course. Who's the 8 million midfielder to have? There was, certainly in my mind, there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between Diaz and Foden. I've never really, to be honest, considered Dejan Kulusevski.
Not the ginger from Sweden.
Listen, what a game he had, by the way. How good was he? A lot of us expecting Bournemouth to be the whipping boys, and they pop up with a 2-0 win.
Was it?
What the hell? I mean, superb from Bournemouth. Superb. And some pretty shoddy looking defending, particularly from set pieces for Aston Villa. Now listen, no panic stations, Villa fans. No panic stations, but no Mings, no leadership at the back there, potentially. Then what's gone on there? Because he's been stripped of the captaincy as well, isn't he? Is there a problem there?
I don't know.
Is something going on there?
I don't know. I'll phone up.
Give Stevie a call.
Hello,
let us know.
Mings.
Give Stevie a call. Lots to discuss, guys, on tonight's
phone number, to be clear.
Good, right.
Just to be clear.
Lots to discuss on tonight's FPL Family, guys. Thank you for joining us. If it's your first ever live stream, thank you for joining in. Remember to hit that subscribe button. We're closing in on about 23k subscribers, and we'd love to push that up into the 25k by the time, so I don't know, next couple of months, we can get up to 25k. That would be awesome. Really helps the channel if you can hit that like and subscribe button. So thank you guys for joining us this evening. We are, of course, going to look back through the weekend's action. We're going to take a quick whistle-stop tour through what's happened in game week one. But as we're going to do with a lot of these streams on a Sunday night, is we're going to start to look more ahead.
Okay.
I think last season we did a lot of game week one chatter, didn't we? And we go and we'd put it in a little bit of context and we'd talk about, you know, what's coming up on the horizon for some of the teams that have done well on a Saturday and Sunday. But a lot of this live stream, we're going to look ahead to game week two, because I know not everybody that watches this video is going to be in the live stream, right? They'll be watching it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and looking ahead to game week two. And there's some pretty tasty fixtures, Sam, in game week two that we need to have a look at what happened in game week one and try and address what we're going to do.
None less than a London
in
derby.
In game week two. Absolutely a London derby coming up. And I suspect, because I got a notification on my phone from Fantasy Football Fix just before we come onto the live stream saying that Haaland's price is likely to go up this evening. I mean,
right, let's just do it now.
So if you're going to do it, tonight feels like the right time to do it, because if you miss out on that 0.1, if you've got zero in the bank,
No, but I'll just do it now.
Are you doing it? You can't do it now. At least wait until after the live stream.
No, do it now.
What, Kane to Haaland right now?
Yeah, there you go. Do it now.
There we go. There we go. Wow. All right, this is not a knee-jerk stream.
Done.
But, wow, okay. You literally just done that.
Yeah.
Kane to Haaland, just like that.
Yeah.
You've seen enough already from Harry. 4-1 Spurs won. Bit unlucky not to get any points. Chelsea looks a bit undercooked.
No.
Spurs are going to go and beat Chelsea next week. Kane could get a hat-trick.
Kulusevski could get a hat-trick.
Wow. All right.
There
you go.
I can't be dealing with it anymore.
It's done already.
I've done it.
It's done. Holy moly. I've never seen you drop Kane quite as quick as that.
I'm going to go with my favourite ginger.
You're going to go Kulusevski? Listen, oh, wow. I genuinely did not know you were going to do that. That's unreal. There is knee-jerk. And there is knee-jerk. All right, you won 4-1. Kane was unlucky not to get points.
It's absolutely nothing to do with Kane.
It's all to do with Erling Haaland.
It's all to do with the
City attack ahead of Bournemouth, right?
So you remember on Friday, before we went to Fest,
yes,
we sat in the pub with Kelly Summers.
I can't believe you just done that.
We sat in the pub with Kelly Summers and we were chatting about Jesus and Jesus. And we were talking about how you just forget the blank for a second. How when you're at that percentage ownership, you just can't risk it. And we were debating the pros and cons of Haaland versus Kane. And the reality is, the pro of Haaland versus Kane was this week. It was Southampton versus West Ham.
Yeah.
The flip happens in game week two, where you've got Chelsea versus Bournemouth.
Yes.
And what I saw from watching Spurs was not Kane leading the attack. It was Son, the wing-back, Kulusevski. Kane doing... Don't get me wrong, I thought Kane played well and he was doing good things.
He was deeper again. He was in that deeper role again, wasn't he?
Yeah. Whereas I watched City and it was everyone look for Haaland.
Yes.
And you look at the ownership figures and you go... I actually wasn't doing too badly this week. Even with a captain blank, I wasn't doing that badly.
Yes,
until
yes.
Haaland did Haaland things. And I was like, do you know what? You have to sometimes just leave your Kane love aside. He's not going to hurt me. If he bangs against Chelsea, it's going to be a pleasure for me to watch that happen.
Honestly, that's an FPL family first, guys. If this is your first ever stream, we do not normally... do transfers live
also,
in play.
I don't normally advocate doing a transfer on a Sunday night.
Yeah,
but,
right?
But
you advocate the exact opposite normally.
But there's no European football in the midweek. There's nothing to happen between now and the weekend apart from potentially injuries in training.
He's going up in price tonight.
Kane's dropping in price tonight. It's 0.2.
Yeah.
And 0.2 is a lot. Yeah. At this point of the season, one of the key things for me between game week one and, say, game week five or whenever you wildcard is not losing team value.
Yeah.
That is absolutely essential.
And that is why a lot of people are going to do it tonight, guys. So if you are new to FPL, if you're tuning in, you're like, why the hell would you do that now and not next Saturday? It's because Haaland's going to rise in price tonight to 11.6.
He's probably going to go up again this
Kane
week.
Kane is probably going to go down to, is he 11.9 because he's 12? No,
he's 11.5
he's
as
11.5,
well. So there'll be 11.6 and 11.4.
Genuinely, yes. So genuinely, you will probably lose out. And I haven't got a notification on my phone, but then I don't have him in my team to say that Kane is going to go down. But the amount of Haaland in transfers I'm seeing, there is only one way, I think, that a lot of those Haaland in FPL managers and what they're doing. It's quite clear to see what's happening.
Well, Kane already had quite a few transfers out yesterday when people were talking about Darwin in for Liverpool. So, of course, you know, that happened. I mean, by the way, just for absolute clarity, I've done that transfer twice now because... I'm also helping Max manage his team this season. And he's done the same transfer as
people
well.
People in the chat saying, you are the reason for the price rise. You are forcing the mark here.
Well, no, I'm not. I mean, it's all the other million people that have done it before me. I just have to now. I've been forced into it. I would have rather waited. But we got a busy week this week. So I've done it. I don't have to think about it now.
All right, very good. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, just while I get over the fact that you've done your transfer. And I have to say... it was, going into the game week, a real 50-50. No doubt about it. We had a lot of conversations at Fest. More on that a bit later on. You and I had lots of conversations. I was flip-flopping between the two. It was a proper coin toss between the two.
Yeah.
But there is no doubt now that it is advantage Haaland owners, because not only do you not need to knee-jerk that transfer tonight, but you can also start to plan for next game week. You can start to look at the players that you haven't got in the rest of your team and be a little bit more proactive with it, which is a good thing.
Not opposed to another transfer this week, by the way.
Not afraid of a hit.
Not afraid of it.
In the first week.
No, not afraid of it. If there's a compelling reason to do it, and there might be, I'm not afraid of it.
All right. Okay, all right. Let's get into the chat, Sam. We've had a new member join the FPL Family YouTube channel. It's none other than Mr. Nathan Joblin.
Nathan.
Nathan Joblin, who is he is a patron of ours. So, Nathan, thank you for your support over there. And thank you now for the additional support in the YouTube members area as well. So Nathan, thank you very much for joining. He says, hi guys, how are we? Hope the kids are good. Mate, they're very good. They're very good. Thank you very much. We are enjoying having our Sundays being a little bit less hectic without the London Colney football going on. But it's only a matter of time. I think next couple of weeks, the London Colney youth football is going to kick off again. And we're going to be watching under nines again on a Sunday morning. And we're going to be going here, there and everywhere. And I, for one, I'm absolutely here for it. So Nathan, thank you very much. And welcome to FPL Family YouTube membership. We also had a super chat, Sam, if I go all the way back here, from Mr. Cy Burdett, who we met at Fantasy Football Fest.
It's so nice to meet you, Cy.
Very nice to meet you. He said, so much for being brave and going with Gross. Why did I bottle that? Listen, mate, no one has said about going with Gross all summer. Not even you. I don't believe you. On the plus side, was great to meet you in person Friday, Sam and Lee. You're ace. Simon, you are ace as well, mate. It was awesome, Sam, wasn't it? It was awesome.
Talk to everybody
about Fantasy Football Fest. Just while I stick a few pictures
a picture
up
of me
from the evening. Because once again, fair play to Gianni and to Ed and to Mark, because they put on a great show, right?
Fest is always one of those nights that I really look forward to. It's such a nice moment where you, like, for us, we see our friends in the community, our the content creator friends that we work with on a semi-regular basis. But it's also a it's also a fantastic...
Sorry about putting those pictures up, by the way.
It's also a fantastic opportunity to meet people. And, you know, so some people, the likes of Duncan, who I'm sure is in the chat, that we've seen multiple times at Fest. He always brings me some biscuits. It's growing now, the level of biscuits that
there
he brings.
Some serious biscuit game going on.
Yeah.
Serious biscuit
hero.
Game. Which, given how long it took to get a pizza at Fest, I was... what did I have for dinner on Fest night? What did I have for my
no,
tea?
No, we didn't.
Basically, I had two Jaffa cakes and a can of Recorder. That was dinner.
We had to stop on the way home because I was so hungry. I was enough moaning on the train on the way home, guys. Honestly, if you'd have been with me, the moaning that was coming out of my mouth. But so it was lovely to see people that we'd met times before. But then there was also people that we've spoken to and that have followed us for years and years that are in our Patreon, like Si, like Martin, like Liam, who'd come all the way from Bristol.
Azzy and his lovely wife that we met
Azzy
as well.
And
Claire, absolutely.
It was so lovely to meet people that we speak to and that we engage with in the chat all the time and that we hadn't met before.
Absolutely.
So if you ever feel, oh, I don't know if I can, just do it with Fest. I think if Azzy's in the chat, he would say the same thing, because I know for Azzy it was a really big deal to find the courage to come to Fest.
Yeah.
And
if you think about it on paper, it is quite daunting, because you're going through in a room of 100 other people, probably more. There's probably more like 150, 160 there.
I think there was 200 people there.
200 people, okay. Yeah. So even worse, right? I totally get it, because I used to have a lot of it myself, right? You go into a room of 200 people you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
absolutely
hard for most people,
yes,
I would say, right?
Absolutely.
To varying degrees. And it's tough, but what I would say is that you're in a room of 200 like-minded people, and if you do tune into what we do, I'd imagine we're going to be there for most Fests, right? Certainly London-based ones. So
why are you not flying me to New York?
I'm definitely not flying you to New York.
Why?
No. And had I won on the night, the trip to New York, you'd have been staying here, dear. I'd have been off to New York.
Oh, shush.
On my own.
Shush
I tell
your
you.
Mouth.
On my own. So anybody that is thinking about going to Fest, I would totally get it if you would feel a little bit iffy about coming. But if you can, and you do want to do it, and you feel like you want to do it, you come and meet us there. It is wicked. It's absolutely wicked. So, Fantasy Football Fest, yes, well done to Mark and to Ed and to Gianni. Another really, really good Fantasy Football Fest. So, I don't know when the next one's planned. I guess middle of the season at some stage, right?
I guess so. I don't know. We catch up with Gianni in the morning anyway,
yeah,
won't we? So, we'll ask him.
Absolutely true. All right. Well, let's crack on, Sam, with Game Week 1 and have a look at how it panned out. Just going through a couple of super chats before I do that. So, Andy Natras has sent us a super chat, but without a question. So, Andy, if you have a question, no need to super chat again. Just let us know what your question is in the chat. And Azzy is in tonight. Azzy, how are you doing?
Is.
He says, let's hope the hot dogs are better at Liverpool. I was telling Azzy on the night about how Max, our lad, came to support Spurs. And it's largely, I'm not going to say totally,
no,
but it's largely
right
down to the quality of the food at Spurs over Liverpool.
Oh, stop it.
That's how he's made his decision.
Stop it. That's what you like to teach yourself. How excited, by the way, one of the things that's really exciting, we got back from Fest, and on Saturday, while we were gone, I'd ordered the Spurs stuff, and it had arrived on the Friday, hadn't it, while we were at Fest. So when we went to pick him up from my parents on Saturday morning, I turned up with a full Spurs kit for him. And he was so excited. He put it straight on, and then there's some pictures on my Instagram. Yeah, bless him.
Yeah, B is in tonight, by the way.
Hey, B.
How are you? She's saying, if Sam's ditching Kane, I'm ditching Kane. It hurts, but I'm getting in Haaland tonight. Doing it, she says.
B,
there you go.
There's no time for Kane love, I'm afraid, in FPL at the moment. It's a fickle world.
Goodness me.
And
how fickle you are, Kane owners. How fickle you are.
You only had to watch the highlights, Lee.
A super chat from Shakalaka Mecca Lekka, which I personally forgot how much I loved saying that name over the summer. So Shakalaka Mecca Lekka, thank you. KDB plus 5 million mid versus the two times 8 million mids. Which one has more value? Now, listen, it's very difficult, I think, to answer those sorts of questions this early on into the season. We only have one game week. We haven't seen too much from the 8 million mids yet, except for Kulusevski, but I think we're going to. But the one thing is for sure, we saw a lot of Kevin De Bruyne earlier today, didn't we? Really, really good. Run the show.
He was great. Again. But the thing is with Kevin De Bruyne, you know what you're getting, right? You pay your money, you get quality. I think if it was Kevin De Bruyne in a 6.5 million midfielder, it's a much easier question because, you know, you've got players in that 6.5 who I think could regularly return.
Yes.
If you're going down to 5, you're probably clutching some weeks for potential returns, whereas you can play around with those 8 millions and you've probably got more potential scope for double digits for both, whereas with KDB, you're reliant on him and not so much on the other that you have alongside. That's my feeling so far. But of course, if Kevin De Bruyne is in track to have the best ever season of his life, then you have to make some sacrifices.
He's certainly that the Haaland second goal where he just picked him out, like just as if they're new together, right? It's as if they had this. They've been playing together all their lives. Yeah. The way that he picked, but that's what you get from De Bruyne. He's going to be able to pick out any player, any time, any game, right? Samar95, thank you for the super chat. Kane's going to have a brace, trust all the way. So certainly Samar is not knee-jerking his way to a Kane to Haaland transfer. He's got a little bit of faith in the Spurs, man. And Azzy with another super chat. Thank you, Azzy. He says, do you think, Sam, Haaland keeps the pens with Mahrez on the pitch? I think that he does.
I mean, they asked him about that in the post-match interview and they said, you took the penalty, and he sort of answered it as if to say, of course I took the penalty.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like...
He's also got to watch his mouth, by the way. Did you see him in the Sky Sports post-match interview swearing his head off?
They won't have him next week. He won't be allowed on. But yeah, I think for me, he'll be on penalties, I think.
I think so, Azzy. Let's get into some of these games then, Sam. As usual, I don't want to go through game by game, but I do want to pick out some key talking points, not least the value that I think we're going to find in this Arsenal side. Now, listen, Jesus came into game week one being the most owned player for a game week one start of an FPL ever. I mean, he was in the 76-77 region. Ridiculous. What did you make of his performance first before we start talking about some of the other FPL assets? Because we have got some now at Arsenal. And they've got Leicester at home next. So it's another nice-looking game for Arteta and his boys. So
yeah. What
did you think of Jesus first? On the thumbnail, I've put Jesus out and maybe Darwin in. But
well, only because that was a talking point.
Really, it is a talking point. But the point is, should we be panicking on Jesus? I don't personally think that we should.
I don't think so. I mean, I think there's... You take a look at what's happened over pre-season. He's been in really good form. One game without a return doesn't make a bad player. And I appreciate that I've just transferred Kane out on the same basis. But that's for... there's different grounds for that. I mean, I think the reason I've done that is because Haaland is the focal point of the attack. Well, you look at Arsenal, and who's the focal point of their attack? It's Jesus, right? So yes, all right, he might not have made any returns in this one, but to me, that doesn't make him a bad option going forward. He's certainly not a player that I'm thinking about transferring out. He'll be there at least for another couple of weeks. If he's still blanking by game week 3, then maybe comes the time where you go, actually, potentially there's a question mark over your head now.
Yeah.
But one game, when you were in the right position and you could have got some returns, doesn't make you a bad option.
Yeah, I'll give my view on Jesus in just a second. I think I've missed a super chat from James. So let me go back to that. James Omani, thank you. Yes, I have. Sorry, James. He took a -8 already. Yikes. Haaland, KDB, Surridge in for Diaz, Jesus and Kane. So he's already got rid of
Jesus as well.
I mean, listen, James, it's bold, mate, but I personally am not a big fan of the knee jerking quite as heavily as that. I mean, Luis Diaz, I thought, played all right for us. We'll talk about Liverpool a bit later on.
He was really unlucky.
We've got Palace at home next game. He looked pretty lively. Jesus out, given everything that we're saying. Like, I'm not saying don't get Haaland in and don't get KDB in. These guys are good as well, right? But you are now quite Manchester City heavy. Now, coming up, they've got some amazing fixtures, not least next week. So, listen, I'm not saying I'm going against any of these transfers, but Jesus has got Leicester at home next week. I mean, goodness me. My view on Jesus is exactly as you've said, by the way. I think you're absolutely right. It's not panic stations at all. I thought he looked really sharp. He probably looked sharper, I thought, than probably Saka, although I know Saka got one of the assists. Martinelli is the one that stood out for me, though. And I think that's an easy thing to say, given he got the goal.
Yeah.
But he was very central. We had a lot of touches in the opposition box, for example, which is one of the underlying stats that we look for in FPL assets. You currently don't have him, and he's a 6 million midfielder. He's looking like a bit of a gift, in my opinion. What are we saying? I know that a lot of people were looking at him going, well, you've got Smith Rowe there and some others. I personally think he's right up there. And I do think, in particular, Well, it's one of the reasons that Zinchenko's been brought in because Zinchenko and Martinelli have definitely got a relationship on that side and it's looking all right already.
I actually thought if I was going to invest this for a second Arsenal player, which by the way, also not opposed to, Zinchenko would be the one I'd look at first above Martinelli. I thought Zinchenko looks absolutely outstanding for Arsenal in that game.
Do you think Arteta's trying to mould him into a bit of a Cancelo 2.0? Because he went off drifting inside, a la Cancelo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was. I thought he was brilliant. And, oh God, it was so painful, this.
they were good. Arsenal were very good.
They were good.
Very good.
You know, look, Martinelli, I do worry a little bit about potential for rotation around those positions.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think I'd have that worry with Zinchenko. Okay. And you've obviously got the route to points with the clean sheets and stuff as well, with the fixtures that Arsenal have over the coming weeks. They look really nice. So I think I'd prioritise Zinchenko as a second Arsenal player over Martinelli. But the price point that Martinelli comes into the game at, I can totally understand why people would be looking to go there, yeah.
Yeah, Zinchenko in the top, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7th in game week 1 for BPS overall, amongst all players with 38, by the way. And just a little bit behind Gross and Kelly, who obviously scored big. So Zinchenko with the double-digit haul. If you went for him in FPL, well done. I think he's going to be a really nice pick going forward. Wouldn't surprise me to see him getting a plus one or a plus 0.1, let's say, in price rise at least over the next week or so, because he's at a price point where you can absolutely go into him quite quickly. Let's go to the super chats, Sam. We have loads of super chats this morning. Thank you, Simon, for the second super chat that you've sent this evening. He shared in the Slack, in the Patreon Slack on Friday, the following stat for Haaland. He scored at least 2 goals on his debut or the opening day of the season last 3 years. So listen, there we go. We should have seen this coming, right? Haaland gets off to a flyer.
I don't think anyone didn't see it coming, though, did they? I didn't think anybody thought that Haaland was going to be bad. I think they just thought the West Ham might be better than they were. And that was a problem.
Yeah. I must admit, though, that was one of the things. So again, 50-50 call, Haaland and Kane. One of the things that tipped me over towards Haaland, though, was some of the defensive challenges that West Ham were facing. And they had Ben Johnson, I think, playing centre-half today, for example. They had a few issues. And that was one of the things I thought, well, if he's going to get off to a flyer, he's got a good opportunity to do it against a West Ham team that are a little bit lacking at the back. Mienna, thank you for the super chat. You switched Podence to Neto.
That is unlucky.
It's a difficult one. I mean, we'll talk about Wolves a little bit later on, but actually, Neto looked okay, right? He looked okay, and he to be fair to him, could have got in the points.
He was up there, wasn't he, for underachievers?
No, he wasn't. I've noticed a couple of Wolves players. I just had a look at that myself. So Dendonka and Ait Nouri, both up there for XG underachievers on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, but not Neto. No, not
Neto.
He
was high on something. I'm pretty sure I saw him and I was looking on there a minute ago.
He's up in the top 5 for crossing.
Maybe
put it that way.
That.
So he was 4th for crosses in the game. He got about 7. So he was there or thereabouts in the stats. On another game week, could have had more. And listen, he's only 5.5. And Mienna's saying go Martinelli instead. I think, Mienna, if you've got the 0.5, I think that's one to do. We've said before about not rating Wolves, etc. I didn't think they played bad against Leeds, but there's a couple of Leeds players, in particular the lad in midfield. Is it Adamson or Aronson?
Aronson.
Oh, goodness me. What a debut he had. More on him a bit later on. Quick, energetic.
Wolves weren't great.
They weren't, but listen, this kid has got something. I really like the look of him. And John Little with the super chat. Thank you, John, for the super chat. Nunez, diminishing Salah's goal scoring warranted. So let's talk about that then. So enough about Arsenal. They were good. If you've got their assets, stick. And if you haven't, consider Zinchenko and Martinelli to go along with Gabriel Jesus.
With
and even Ramsdale, right? Not too late to get on Ramsdale because the clean sheets look okay for Arteta's boys as well. But let's go forward to Saturday lunchtime, Fulham 2, Liverpool 2.
You didn't enjoy
2.
This, did you?
No, I didn't.
He was very stressed, spoiler alert.
Yeah, it was a funny old game, though, because first things first, Fulham were very good.
They were.
They were excellent. And it wasn't really until I got to the end of the game and I was a bit down in the dumps because it felt a little bit like a defeat. And I was kind of like, well, we were expected to win that. And then I thought about it in the cold light of day and I thought, we're going away to the championship champions, back in the Premier League, at their ground, on a sunny lunchtime. We've got to travel from the northwest down to London.
On the train as well, didn't you?
On the train. It kind of had banana skin written on it. didn't it, really?
Well, that's why I didn't captain Salah.
Yeah, and I can see why. I can see why. But listen, I'm not going to go into... I'm not going to sound like Klopp and come up with a bunch of excuses with his dry pitch and stuff, which, by the way, was taken massively out of context. We'll talk about that if you want. But actually what Klopp was saying was that the attitude wasn't right.
The win, the pitch.
But listen, that he had a 4.5 minute conversation with an interviewer where I think he said the pitch was a bit dry in like a 1 second snapshot. But the press have decided to grab onto that rather than all the other things that he said, if you listen to him, which was actually we weren't at it. The attitude wasn't right. First half in particular was dreadful. He wasn't wrong. We were dreadful first half.
Yeah.
Fulham were good. Not taking anything away from Fulham.
So I think for me, watching it as a semi-neutral, because obviously when Liverpool are playing, unless they're playing Spurs, when I want them to lose badly, I don't want them to lose in the other games. I watched them and thought Fulham were outstanding. That was my kind of feeling, was that Liverpool were still asleep and that Fulham were brilliant. The Fulham were really up for it. The fans were up for it. The players were up for it. There was an energy and a connection between the fans and the players. The players were motivated. Liverpool looked as if they'd come thinking they were going to win the game because it was against a team that they should beat comfortably. And I don't think they expected Fulham to come out in the way that they did. And it took Fulham to come out in the way they did to kind of shock Liverpool into kind of action. And then they were good for a bit. I didn't think Liverpool...
Which bit were we good?
Well, for a little bit in the middle when you first scored your first goal. But then I didn't think it actually became... I didn't think we saw any real kind of views of what Liverpool could be until Darwin came on. And then I thought that really changed the way that you played. Now, it wasn't perfect when he came on, but it was better. There was more energy about the team. There was a higher press. So I think there were things you could learn. Look, at the end of the day, it's not ideal. But Salah, from an FPL perspective, and I still go back to this, there was a lot of people going, oh, I could get rid of Salah because Liverpool aren't what they are. No. Salah still got a massive haul in that game. He still got a goal and an assist. You cannot and you shouldn't underestimate that. That was Salah and Liverpool not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
When they play well, you are going to want to be invested in these players. Now, there's a lot of people out there that went for the double defence. I think you... Did you do that?
I did, yes. Robbo and Trent, yeah.
Very easy to panic on that and go, get rid.
Yeah.
Don't, would be my view. If you've invested in Trent and Robertson combined, or if you've invested like I have in Trent and Diaz and Salah, I'm just not panicking. They have
but what... So, okay, I agree with some of that. What are we saying about Darwin, though? What are you saying about Darwin?
Well, I thought he had a good game when he came on. I thought he changed the game. I thought he was lively.
That's two games now where he's come on. Because in the Community Shield, he did the exact same thing.
He did. And I think he's a good investment if you aren't trebled up on Liverpool already.
Right.
Then he looks like a really good investment.
If you are trebled up on Liverpool, would you move around to get him?
No, well, I don't think I'd take hits for it. No, because you're talking about... So in my mind, you're talking about either selling Robertson or Trent to fund it. Now, taking a -4 for one of those two, to me, doesn't feel worth it at the moment. Okay. If it was just a free, if you roll your transfer this week, I don't think Darwin is going to be prioritised as a transfer in for most people because they're going to be looking at Darlan, probably.
You'd be City attack, I think, is the priority, yeah.
So I think you're going to have a little bit of time to just wait and see what Liverpool do against Crystal Palace on Monday night. See the formation that Klopp puts out. Darwin is on my radar. The impact that Darwin has on Luis Diaz is on my radar because I thought...
What's that?
Well, because I actually thought that Diaz had a good game for most of that game. I thought he looked sprightly.
Yeah.
He had two opportunities from nothing that he created for himself. One of them was ruled offside. One of them ricocheted off the bar, off the post, I think, or was it off the bar? I can't remember.
Off the woodwork.
Off the woodwork. Better way of saying it. But I thought he looked good and I was feeling quite like, okay.
How did his role change when Darwin came on though?
But he didn't look as good once Darwin came on in terms of his attacking threat. He wasn't in the same positions. He wasn't, because Darwin had the central role and he wasn't coming in as much. So it did have an impact. So that's what I'm watching for on Monday night. But I saw enough from Luis Diaz that I don't want to get rid of him. So I'm going to watch what he does on Monday. The impact that, because I think Darwin will start. The impact that Darwin has.
You think Darwin's going to start against Palace?
I think so, yeah. I can't see Klopp not starting him. Thought he changed the game.
Yeah.
Do you not agree?
He is the player I want the most in FPL right now. in my team. I think he has got the potential to get... He just got Brayson hat-trick written all over him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's... The way that we change and the style as well is really interesting. If you look at... There's a tweet I think Neil from Scout put out over the weekend talking about average position of Firmino and the average position of Darwin. Now, the average position of Firmino, when Firmino was on the pitch, is back towards... It's in the centre circle,
yeah,
right? It's on the edge of the centre circle. So as we've seen for years with Liverpool, what happens is Firmino drops and it really benefits the wide players. And Diaz got into some really dangerous positions. As you rightly say, hit the woodwork, looked lively when Firmino was on the pitch.
Yep.
Not a shock to anybody that's been watching Liverpool for 5 or 6 years, because yep, that's what happens, right?
Yeah, he's
and that's
the Kane.
Part of the reason Salah has done what he's done over the last few years, because it's Firmino.
Yep.
Darwin comes on.
Yep.
Changes totally.
Yeah.
Changes totally. Because the player I noticed that was then dropping to receive... was Diaz.
Yeah, yeah.
So Diaz was starting to come a bit more central and drop, which freed up a lot of space
yep
for Robbo, by the way, on that side. Darwin is a box dweller. His movement is so intelligent, guys. Honestly, I've been watching Liverpool strikers for years. This guy's movement, when the rest of the team understand, and they're already starting to build a little bit of an understanding, but notice how he and Salah almost got in each other's way on the second goal.
Mm.
When Salah and Darwin get that going, he's going to be dynamite, I think. And maybe I've got my red goggles on. Maybe I'm hoping too much and I'm thinking, okay, we've bought this player. I want him to be good, right? But, and again, he's come on against a tiring Fulham team. So I'm trying not to get too excited about it. Obviously, I'm trying to rein in my expectations. But the way that he changes games, the way that he moves and the impact that he has on the other players has got a big, big impact on FPL, I think.
Yeah.
And if Darwin starts to play regularly in this Klopp team, which you've got to assume that he's going to, because we spent 80 million on him, he's going to have an impact on Robertson, because Diaz is going to be coming in and Robbo's going to have more space. The ball, whenever we move it to the left, we're going to be looking for Robbo, not Diaz.
Is this the moment I should say, stop talking?
No, totally. But
you've
no,
been
no,
going but, on like, I just...
Well, what do you think? Do you think that Darwin is a game changer for Liverpool?
No,
do you think that has an impact
on
Salah?
No, not in the same way that you clearly do, no. I don't think he makes Salah a bad option. I don't think he's going to make Diaz a bad option.
I know we're saying Salah's a bad option, but I think Darwin is going to have an impact on Salah.
Would you sell Salah?
In a few weeks. Maybe in a few weeks I might.
Ooh,
maybe. I ain't pulling any triggers now, don't get me wrong. But
you won't be selling Salah. Salah won't become any worse of an FPL option because of Darwin. They will learn to play in the same way that KDB is not becoming a worse option because of Haaland.
Maybe.
They will work together in that system, and it will work well in the same way that Salah and Mane have done for years and years and years. And when Firmino was at peak Firmino, in the same way that
he's
worked,
a different player. Darwin and Firmino are different players.
But they learn to be a team and they learn the roles that they have. Now, I think the only person that's got potential to have their attacking returns limited by Darwin is Diaz. I don't think it's Salah, because I think Diaz will take that slightly less attractive role in the way that Kane does at Spurs.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will make Salah a worse option. So for me as a Diaz owner, I'm watching it thinking, I've got to see how this pans out, because on wildcard, or even potentially going into game week 3, if Darwin starts against Crystal Palace and plays well, then game week 3 might be the moment where I'm saying, okay, well, now we've got through the Chelsea game, I want back in on Spurs because the fixtures are really nice. Hello, the ginger from Sweden instead.
Okay.
But I do think, because the other way to do it, if you're not going to sell Salah, the only way to get to Darwin up top is either going to be to get rid of one of your premium defenders. And I don't see you wanting to get rid of Robertson, because you just said
I
don't. It's going to be a good option.
I don't, no.
So would you get rid of Trent?
Well, maybe. This Liverpool team is evolving, right? I'm going to stop talking because you've told me to. But but this Liverpool team is evolving. And I just think by the time we're thinking about popping that first wild card, I think there's going to be question marks over some FPL assets that we have trusted for a long time. Not because they're bad. Because there'll be others that are better, is my opinion. But listen,
wow.
More on that 6 or 7 weeks from now. Fulham, though, very, very good, right? Very, very good.
Yes.
And Mitrovic, let's not talk too much about him. If you've got 6.5, if you want to play him as your third striker...
Who do they have next, Fulham?
Not against that whatsoever. Let's go to the fixtures and have a look at who Fulham have got next then. Fulham coming up, it's Wolves and then Brentford in the next two, which look
Ooh,
all right.
That's all
then
right.
It's Arsenal away, which gets a bit trickier in four. So how do you feel about, well, a couple of players. Mitrovic is one, but also 4.5 gem in both of our teams, Andreas Pereira, on set pieces and corners. Really looks a lot, doesn't he?
Really happy with him.
Looks a lot.
Watching that game, obviously, I was watching my Liverpool
assets. Not taking him out.
But I was looking at Pereira and I was like, hang on, he's taking set pieces as well. Oh, now he's gone to take a corner.
And very ex-lively, by the way.
I know, he's had everywhere. A good game. Everywhere you looked, like there was Pereira. And I was very impressed. And I think at 4.5 million, I said to you, didn't I, watching that game, the issue you got with Pereira is you're going to go into the next few weeks probably wanting to start him. But he's 4.5. He's supposed to be the bench fodder. So it's difficult
totally.
Because then you're looking at, I mean, I'm looking at my team and you'll see it in a minute or at the end of this stream for next week, thinking, how on earth do I play Pereira?
Yes.
But who am I benching for him? It's very hard when you get a good player like that, in the same way that it was with Lundstrom a few seasons ago. But I was really impressed. I was very, very impressed by Fulham. Now, all right, it was their first home game of the season. I'm presuming they're going away to Wolves next. So it's always a bit more difficult when you start going on the road. But Mitrovic looked excellent and doesn't look like he's going to stop his record from the Championship. I don't think he's going to hit 43 goals, by the way. But he's off to a good start in the Premier League already. He's got the buy-in of the manager this time. He's going to get regular starts. The team knows where he is. His relationship, Pereira, excellent.
One stat I did notice about Mitrovic, he was top for aerial duels, I noticed, in the Fantasy Football Scout members area. If you're not a member over at Fantasy Football Scout, now's a great time to go and do it. We've only just started the season and the members area has got a whole load of tables and stats. You can make your own tables. It's absolutely brilliant. The season ticker that we use when we look at fixtures, that's on as part of your premium membership for Scout as well. Do you get a bottle?
No, this is my bottle.
This is your bottle. Okay, so what are you bringing it up for then?
Well, I was just a bit of marketing. Just a bit of marketing. There you are.
A bit of marketing for Scout.
A bit of Scout marketing.
So in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, Mitrovic this week, 14 aerial duels won. To put that into context, the next best was Ben Davies, who got 7 for the game week. So Mitrovic over double what Ben Davies got in second there. So, and listen, Mitrovic was up against largely Virgil van Dijk and Matip, right? So he wasn't exactly up against
a couple of Muppets.
And
he was impressive.
You know,
it's very easy to sit here and go, well, Mitrovic had a good game. And then you think he's playing against Matip, van Dijk, Trent and Robertson with Alisson in goal. Like, that is one of the best defences in the Premier League. In fact, last year kept the most clean sheets in the Premier League.
His stats were good. Let's talk about your boys then. Top of the league, Tottenham Hotspur. Obviously nothing for Kane, as has been well documented. Only an assist for Son. But it's Kulusevski that gets the goal and the assist. And I think the 3 bonus points. Yes, he did. The talking point, though, for me from this game is how good
the wing-backs
are the wing-backs going to be?
I know.
Conte continues to get unbelievable performances out of your fairly average, crappy wing-backs.
What?
Now, do not come at me with Emerson Royale as any good. He's not. When Perisic is fit...
You take an apology.
When Perisic is fit and in that team, he is in my basket quicker than you can say 3 bonus points. He's going to be unreal in FPL. And I have to say, sorry, I know you're keen to jump in, that I have to a shout out to the FPL Twitter community, because there was a lot on deadline day about, well, Perisic hasn't been wearing... I saw this on Twitter. Did you see this? There was an 11 that was all wearing the same bib colour training at Spurs, and it just so happened that one of the journos had caught sight of that and was like, I wonder if that's the 11 for the weekend. And there was a bit more, a couple of other journos picked it up. I know James from Planet FPL picked it up, did a pod specifically about it, because neither Doherty nor Perisic were wearing that colour bib. And James, I think, had them both in his team. I had Perisic, and I moved Perisic out on the basis of this bib theory, and I brought Trippier in. So thank you, FPL community, Twitter community, for helping me make that decision. But
I told you that Perisic and Doherty weren't going to start
totally.
Last weekend, and you ignored me.
Yeah, totally. But when he's fit, he's going to be unbelievable in this system, by the way, because that is where a lot of your attacking threat has come from. And in my opinion, one of the reasons Kane is sitting so deep, because he doesn't need to join that attack. You've got 4 players in the attack already.
So what's really interesting for me as a Spurs fan watching it was actually how impressed I was with Sessegnon. I thought...
Very good he was.
In the last couple of seasons, last year in particular, I was quite harsh on Sessegnon a lot of the time. I didn't get it a lot of the time. I was just like, I just don't understand what you're trying to do. He'd come on, he'd do ridiculous things. He made some comments after the game. They did an interview with him on Spurs TV, and he was talking after the game about Perisic and what Perisic has been saying to him and how he's been helping him with his game,
right?
And teaching him about movement.
Good. And you're better to learn from, I think.
But you could see it in that game. Yeah. You could really feel it. And I think the wing-backs, we always knew that the wing-backs were going to be good for Spurs this year. The question was, which wing-backs are going to be good for Spurs? Because we've got so many of them, and we're going about to sign another one. Yeah. So we've got so many that can play on each side. So you just got to monitor it. Now, you don't tell me to hurry up.
Well, I'm just saying that none of us are going to... My reason for saying hurry up there is I don't think anybody's bringing in any Spurs ahead of Chelsea.
Well...
And this is supposed to be, we're supposed to be looking forward to game week two. I'm not certainly going to... If anything, we're jumping off a Kane. We're jumping off a Son. So we can...
Would you jump off Son?
We can talk about Spurs as much as you want. But listen,
see, I wouldn't
no
jump
one's
off
bringing
Son.
Them in.
If I was... Oh, jump off Kane, yes.
You wouldn't go Son to KDB, for example?
No, I would not. Absolutely not.
Bloody
I'd
hell.
I'd hold Son.
Of course you would.
No, I wouldn't. I would not.
Son at Chelsea, KDB home to Bournemouth.
I would not. I would not jump... Kane, yes, but I would not jump off Son. And I would not... And I would actively move for Kulusevski if I didn't have a Haaland
problem. Well, that's okay. I think you can move to Kulusevski on the basis that it's...
I also
it's
don't
Chelsea
think
next,
it's necessarily a bad idea to move for a Spurs wing back at this point while they're cheap. They're only going to go up in value.
Because your fixtures after the Chelsea game is Wolves, Forest, West Ham, Fulham. So yeah, from three, absolutely. We'll be sitting here next week, I've no doubt, talking about which Spurs players we're getting in our team.
Well, it depends what happens. See, I think
but this week, it's an exodus.
Wow.
Well, it is, isn't it? You watch Son go down in price for KDB. Kane's going to go down in price tonight for Haaland.
I don't see... I wouldn't be selling Son.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
No. Prefer not to speak.
Kulusevski then. Talk to me about his performance because, yeah, Son and Kane, I think are going to be sold for Man City this week. But Kulusevski, I could see why there might be a little bit of a bandwagon. Probably not for game week two, but for game week three. The way that he whipped that ball in for Sessegnon... for the first goal was unbelievable when he took his goal very well in terms of strike as well. Here's a guy that I don't think he's under that much threat from Richarlison when Richarlison's fit. Well,
I've never
when
really
Richarlison's not
this.
Suspended, put it that way.
Never really understood the comments about Richarlison taking away Kulusevski's game time. I don't see it. Richarlison doesn't play in the same positions. He doesn't do the same things that Kulusevski does. He doesn't add that. He won't carry the ball. He won't work as hard. Kulusevski, I think he's under no threat. His threat is from Lucas Moura, and Lucas Moura's not going to play. He's going to come on. He's going to come on at the end of games. He's going to play 20 minutes here and there. So I think Kulusevski's pretty much nailed. And if even for a second, if you think, oh, he might get benched or he might get moved to wing-back position, well, hello, if he gets moved to wing-back position under Conte, that's going to make him a bad option.
Maybe not a bad thing,
All right, he's not... I appreciate that an out-of-position midfielder at that much isn't great playing in defence because you don't get the benefit of the extra points for the clean sheet. But nonetheless, he's still going to be attacking wherever he is on the pitch. And with the five subs, we saw Conte use all five. He will use all five because he asks for effort and energy and... speed and pace, and that's something that Kulusevski will give him bucket loads. So
you pull out a stat just as I was setting up the stream here.
It?
You pulled out a stat about Kulusevski and how he's been since he's been at Spurs versus basically the rest of Europe. It's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, his record is unreal since he's been at Spurs.
Wheeled out a couple for you, didn't I? So since signing for Spurs, Kulusevski has had the third most goal involvements in the league with 15.
Unreal.
That's only bettered by Kane and Son across the whole league. So the Spurs front three, top for all of that. And then the other one, you're right, he's assisted 9 goals in the Premier League since his debut in February. That's the most of any player across Europe's big 5 leagues, apart from Dembele, who's got 11.
Pretty good, pretty good. Cyberdebt, thank you for the super chat. Spurs won't score at Chelsea. Susan Boyle time, here we go. There's another bet
right,
on the
sake,
table from which, Simon.
I mean, so what? He's going to have some stupid name again, because that's not happening. Spurs.
You think he'll score at Chelsea? I mean, Chelsea didn't impress. Let's go there next. Just to round off some of these fixtures.
Score at Chelsea's side.
Chelsea got the job done at Goodison Park, but it was far from convincing, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I mean, Chilwell gets the assist. Jorginho gets the penalty. It's 1-0. I mean, one thing that stood out for me, and I must admit, this was one of those games where sorry, Chelsea fans, I was a little bit bored. I know you got the win and you're happy with that, but I didn't think it was a good game at all. I noticed both Thiago Silva and Koulibaly were struggling for pace.
Both of them.
Struggling with cramp, even on like the hour mark. And that kind of worries me. If I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be worried about the fact that my centre-halves are...
a bit old?
Maybe a little bit old. Now, you've got to say that I don't think Koulibaly was... and there was a lot on Twitter about, you know, what a great debut he's had. And there was all of this pass completion rate stats and you know, how good...
He did work hard.
Yeah, but listen, when you see that team sheet and you see Dwight McNeil, Anthony Gordon and Damari Gray, you are not Koulibaly shaking in your boots, are you? You are thinking you're going to have a decent game here.
The thing is that neither of these... The problem I had with this game... And I sat there for the whole 90 minutes and watched it. Nobody had a striker on the pitch. So actually scoring goals was always going to be a challenge in this one. And
Sterling's not the answer, I don't think, at nine, do you, for Chelsea? He's a nice player, but not at nine.
Not in the nine. I think Sterling can make Chelsea better. And I sat here last week and I said I thought he and Mason Mount had a nice connectivity. And I still thought that watching the game. But they need a striker. They need somebody like Haaland that's going to be in the box.
Because there's loads of them about.
Or like Darwin. They need somebody that's going to be lurking around in the box and will just tap it in like Tony at Brentford, like Bamford at Leeds. You need that person that's there in the box and you can rely on when you look up to send the ball. There they are. That's what you need.
Well, the two strikers that they're being linked with at the moment are Aubameyang. I don't know if you've seen this.
What is that about?
Well, it's him and it's Arnautovic. Have you seen that as well?
Arnautovic.
Either one of them two come in and you're in big trouble. But listen, I'm not surprised to see this game.
Does it have to begin with an A? Is that what it is?
Not surprised to see this game finish 1-0 in a game that had no strikers on show. I for one, I'm not rushing into Chelsea either defensively or offensively because you are, despite what Simon's saying there, you will score at a bridge next week, in my opinion.
I agree. I think we will score, which is why I haven't got a Chelsea defender, because I wasn't sold on Chelsea in pre-season. Now, all right, Reece James and Ben Chilwell both with good points this week. I think James had a couple of bonus points in there as well.
Yeah.
So both of them with good underlying stats.
Enough good underlying stats
that he gets bonus points, particularly if you keep the clean sheet or get some attacking returns. So both Reece James and Chilwell both looking like good potential investment options for FPL, but not before game week two, because I do think we'll score against them. And I still think that there's vulnerabilities in that Chelsea system and the way that it works. So after we've played them in game week two, I will then be looking, and I'll be watching that game, obviously, very carefully next Sunday and monitoring what Chilwell and James are doing, because they are the ones I think you're going to want to invest in if you're going for the Chelsea defence because of their attacking threat.
Yeah,
and the way that they rack up the bonus points. But I'm just not completely certain that all is quite right at Chelsea. They scraped this, and it was only a penalty.
Yeah.
And it was a penalty, but it was a penalty that's given them. That could easily have been a 0-0 draw that game.
And the Flying Dutchman, thank you for the comment in the chat. He's saying, how was Mount looking? And not good. Not good. Give him a chance.
The problem is there's no one to finish it. And it's the same again as we had last season. Like, you, without a striker, Mount can create as many opportunities as he wants, but he's feeding it to Sterling, who's never going to be the striker in the match. So they need somebody.
If only Chelsea could spend 100 million on a striker, then they'd get their man. Right, anyway, moving on. Let's go to today and have a quick chat about some of these games. What is going on at Man United? I just, honestly.
Were you surprised by this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, massively.
I didn't.
Massively. I know a lot of you went in on Rashford. I know some of you went in on Diogo Dalot. I don't know what's happened here. I mean, Brighton, we can't be too negging on United, because Brighton did play well. But the circus around Manchester United continues. I mean, let's have a look at their fixtures and ask ourselves whether, actually, Sam, it is worth talking about Manchester United. It's Brentford away next, which, by the way, not an easy game, given that Brentford had a good result this weekend. Then it's Liverpool at home, which at the moment you'd say, you know, looks okay for Liverpool. Southampton away, Leicester away, Arsenal at home. This is not a run where I think you want to be picking up Man United players. You've got Rashford in your side. What did you
think? It's also not a game that I want to sell him ahead of.
Brentford away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I want to sell him yet. I think I saw enough from Rashford. There were a couple of opportunities where I was like, Rashford! Like, he was... I don't know how he didn't score. There were a couple of times where
but that only happened when they switched it up and went ultra-attacking because they were chasing the game.
Appreciate that.
First 45 minutes, he didn't have to do anything. He wasn't involved.
I appreciate that. But I am also looking at that team and thinking, I can't... Yes, I could move to Martinelli. Do I think Martinelli will outscore Rashford by 4? Because it's a -4 to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not absolutely certain that that will happen. Like, I feel like having bigged up Rashford so much over the last few weeks and had so much confidence that actually Rashford was going to be this better player under Ten Hag and in the build-up to the World Cup and wanting to go with England and all of that stuff, I thought he would have a better game than he did. Now, I saw some snippets from Rashford in that game, but the rest of it just looked a bit...
XG this game week for Rashford for was 0.29. He was in the top 10 for XG underachievers. So you are right, he did have some chances, particularly in that second half, that were decent. And he was, I think, I'm not going to say on a plate, but Ronaldo, I think, gave him a decent chance in
on
that second half.
On a plate,
half,
it was.
Right? I don't know.
No, it was. I mean, he should have done better.
Well, it was XG was, you know, less than 0.29, so it can't have been that on a plate. But he probably should have done better with it, that's for sure. I, for one, would be selling him. I just was... And as you know, I almost went into game week one with him, right? It was only the little sort of, I did a bit of jiggery pokery and went Bailey in the end, which was equally crap. Because Villa were terrible, weren't they, against Bournemouth? Oh, I just don't know. But anyway, United, obviously, United fans, you've got to give Ten Hag a bit of time. He's got to impose his philosophy. He's got to get his...
Change doesn't happen overnight.
No, exactly, no. But one thing's for sure... Well, say one thing's for sure. I don't think Ronaldo is good for that side. I honestly don't. In pre-season, they were red hot. They beat us 4-0, for Christ's sake. They were really good without him, and now he's back. And
no,
it's,
but I thought...
I don't know. I just don't know.
In a little bit of Ronaldo support, I did think they looked a bit better when he came on.
Well, yeah. Maybe he just provided a little bit of threat because Brighton were tiring and were sort of...
Maybe
a bit
but
more defensive. I don't know.
Brighton was still attacking right to the end. I don't know. I thought he did give them something. In the same way that Chelsea need a forward, in the same way that who else have we been talking about that still needs a forward? Everton. Like there's problems in these teams where they don't have a forward player. Now, if they sell Ronaldo and you're playing out of position Rashford up there or out of position Bruno out there, it can work. But Ronaldo is a proven Premier League goal scorer. And I get that there's issues. And I get that maybe he wants Champions League football and he wants to leave. And there's all those issues that are going on in the background.
Yeah.
But I thought they were poor, Man United. And I thought they were better when he came on.
Not rush into their assets. Not by a long stretch. What about West Ham against City then? I mean, the Haaland show in full swing already for Manchester City. A bit of a needless yellow for Cancelo as well. Right on half time for...
still got a bonus point though.
Having a word with the referee's assistant. Did he get two baps?
Yeah, he got seven.
It's unreal. Him and James. There's a few players in this game that are just bat magnets and he's absolutely one of them, Cancelo. He's unreal.
Well, talk to me about Foden because you have Foden.
Yes.
Are you all right with that or are you...
Well, at the moment, I feel like I've got a piece of that City attack that not a lot of other people have got, right?
Yeah, now big differential.
A massive differential. I looked at his EO, and not that I make a lot of my decisions based on EO, but I do have a look at it coming into the game week, and he was less than 2%. So I saw his name on the team sheet, and I'm like, boom, if he gets anything here, that's going to make a big difference for me. He didn't, but... looked okay, and there was one he put, you know, there was a cross he put in the first half for Haaland. I'm thinking, crikey, if that guy, you get Foden assist Haaland goal, I'm all
Haaland
over it.
Haaland should have scored that as well. It's the header, wasn't it?
I still back Foden because my opinion is still he is the best wide midfielder that City have got. I was going to say midfielder, but then I realised they've got Kevin De Bruyne. So he's not the best midfielder they've got, but he's probably the second best. He's probably the second best. And I've said this before to you, I said this to you last week. Pep doesn't trust Mahrez. You can say what you like about Mahrez, but I am absolutely in the same camp as Az from Scout insofar as soon as you think Mahrez is a good option, he's a bad option. I just don't think he works hard enough. You saw it in the Community Shield. Pep doesn't like him for that reason, so he gets Foden there. Foden, the other good thing about Foden is that he can play left or he can play right. He played right today. I didn't think we saw much from Grealish, by the way. So maybe we see Foden on the left against Bournemouth and we see Mahrez come in. Either way, I feel like Pep trusts Foden in a way that he doesn't trust the other guys. And Foden's got the ability at 2% EO to give me that rank boost that I'm looking for. He's still 6 or 7% owned, right? A double City attack going into the next few fixtures, including Bournemouth at home. I'm happy with that.
If Foden blanks again...
Yeah.
Against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Would you move in for Kulusevski if Kulusevski
possibly,
returns
yes.
against Chelsea?
Yeah, maybe. I'd have to see. I think the performances will play a lot of a big part in that, right? Because if Kulusevski can do it against Chelsea, that's almost like the stamp I need to know that, you know, he didn't just do it on a good day against Saints, right? I'm getting the feeling that a lot of teams are going to have good days against Saints, right? But if he turns up and has a good game against Chelsea as well,
yeah,
and he can keep Richarlison out of that team, which I think that he can, because I think Richarlison, I think you're right, is going to be used more centrally or on the left, mm-hmm. then yes, absolutely. But I still like having a bit of that Man City attack that isn't just Haaland, because Haaland is going to be template very quickly. Very quickly. Well, like game week two quickly.
Probably already is.
So if he's going to, if his EO is going to be, you know, very, very high every game week, in the same way that you want somebody to go alongside Trent if you're going to believe in the Liverpool defence, you've got to have something to make you benefit from that, right? No point just having Trent. Well, everyone's got him.
That's why I've done Edison with Cancelo.
Yeah.
Because
you believe in the defence a bit
because
more.
I believe in the City defence.
Yeah, yeah.
I just hate, I hate the City midfield. I hate it. I love KDB. I love him. I hate the rotation that goes on in that midfield. And I know that KDB is, as far as you can say, immune.
Yeah.
But he's also 12 million and I can't afford him.
Yeah.
So I've got to buy into the Foden, Grealish, Mahrez lottery. And I just hate that. So I would rather buy into the Saka Kulusevski million-ish, 8 million-ish bracket, because I know that as far as things go, they are fairly secure of starts. But what I can do is I can invest in Edison. And I never have a premium goalkeeper.
I was surprised you went Edison over Walker. If you were going to go double City defence, you'd go him, wouldn't you? Save yourself 0.5?
No, because I feel like Walker's not that safe. I feel like City will sign somebody else on that side before the transfer window closes. They wanted Cucurella, that didn't come off. But I think they will sign somebody else in that position. I don't think Walker will start every game. Whereas if Ederson stays fit, he's playing 38 times this season. He picked up a bonus point today. He doesn't get that many save points. But, you know, if you look back at last season, he had the same clean sheets as Alisson did at Liverpool. I value the outfield positions at Liverpool way more than I do.
Okay.
So I wanted a premium goalkeeper. He was the premium goalkeeper to have, in my opinion. And it's paid off this week. It's given me that boost that just having Cancelo wouldn't have.
Okay.
So I'm happy with him. Yes, I could have saved 0.5 with Walker, but I think I would have felt frustrated. I think there would have been a number of games this season where I felt frustrated.
Okay. I totally agree with you. And I think the City backline is definitely an area, if you want to invest, you do. But I think once that attack starts clicking, and once they all start understanding where Haaland's going to be running, I think you get Haaland. I think forget it. You just get him, right? So then if you're thinking about this City attack, and Bournemouth at home next week could be unbelievable, couldn't it?
Yeah, but Cancelo will be doing that as well.
Listen, this guy just gets forward like he doesn't even care. He's just unbelievable. The fact he's got number 7 as well this season cracks me up every time I see it, because he does play like a number 7. I just think Foden has definitely got... There's something Pep likes about him and trusts more about him than he does the other two right now. Sure, I'm starting to feel like Grealish is dropping down into the Mahrez category, by the way. Because Grealish needs to up his game, seriously. What's he done at City other than go to Vegas and be on the bus?
He
ain't done anything yet.
There's nothing about the City attack that I don't know is not going to score loads of goals, if you know what I mean. That was a terribly worded sentence. But I know the City attack's going to score goals. But this season, I don't feel like they're the only team that's going to score a lot of goals. I feel like you can look elsewhere and find teams that have got really good attacking threat in the same price points as you're going to have from Mahrez, Grealish, Foden. It's going to be KDB. It's going to be Cancelo. It's going to be Haaland. It's going to be those guys that mostly get those attacking returns would be my bet at City. Okay. Yes, you're going to get them from Foden. But you might get just as many from Bukayo Saka. You might get just as many from Mount if they sign a forward. You might get just as many from Kulusevski if he continues to play the way that he is. There's also some others in the slightly cheaper category, like you've already talked about Martinelli. If they continue to get good game time, those clubs in the next 10 weeks could score just as many goals as Man City do.
Yeah. All right. A stat that we used to reel out this time every week last season was touches in the opponent's half. Guess, Sam, which players had the most touches in the opponent's half this game week?
Might it be Cancelo?
It is Cancelo. and not only that, but it is by a country mile, by the way. I can't see the exact numbers on the Scout members area, but he's somewhere in the 120s. The next best, by the way, was Kieran Trippier.
Great game, by the way.
Just over 100, right? So Cancelo is ridiculously in the opponent's half. And also, I noticed one of the other stats, the passing statistic. Guess who was top for that this game week? João Cancelo. Second was Mark Gahey.
Didn't even have time to guess.
Third was Ake. So what do you get with Gahey and Ake and Diaz, who was also up there for top for passes this game week? You get sideways passing, right? Passing that's not necessarily under pressure, let's put it that way. Cancelo is getting in positions where he's making these passes in the opponent. He's getting in the opponent's half and still making passes under pressure. This guy is a gem. He's a gem.
There's a lot of people talking about going without him, though, weren't there at the beginning of the season?
Yes, and I think if you wanted to save a couple of minutes and go Walker, I can understand that. But for me, I think you've got to have him. Just his underlying stats always suggest that he's not that far off of just... He's got a double-digit hole in him every single week, I think, Joao Cancelo. Let's talk about our teams for the week then. So talk me through your team. We've got game week ranks on there, but it doesn't really matter, to be honest with you guys, at this stage.
6 million.
It's not until we get 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even longer weeks in until we start actually worrying about overall ranks and stuff. But talk to me through your team.
There were some surprises in there. So obviously, Trent's not really there for getting anything, is he? He's just there to cover everyone else that's got Trent, you know. So game one, yeah. But Trippier, Cancelo, Edison, they were good picks. Matt Cash, I was absolutely convinced that Matt Cash was going to be a really good pick this week. I just don't really understand what happened at Villa.
The double Villa's let you down there massively, isn't it?
I mean, we haven't talked
about that game, but what you say now about those two?
Well, I'm not too worried about Bailey. Because he's cheap enough that, you know, he can just go to the bench. I mean, it could bring Pereira on for him. So it's not the end of the world. But Matt Cash, I still am really disappointed in that. I was expecting really good things from him this time and it just didn't happen. Salah, fine. Should have captained him. It is what it is. Luis Diaz, I'm really disappointed with the Luis Diaz one because the points flashed before my eyes a couple of times in that game.
Yeah, for sure, he was up there.
And I think on a different day, he could have had 12 points in that game. And Rashford, again, the same. There were a couple of moments in that game today where I really thought he was going to return and it could have been a different story. Obviously, Jesus is irrelevant because three quarters of the game own him. And Kane blanking. The Kane blank is the thing that hurts the most. I think when your team wins 4-1...
Yeah.
And Kane returns absolutely nothing. Even if he got an assist or one goal, I'd have felt a lot better.
Yeah. But you've made the right decision there. It's just not the right outcome has happened.
And this is the thing, I think. You know, I look back on my decision-making going into game week one and on Friday. And for me, and I can't remember who I said this to at first before the deadline, but I was talking to somebody and they said, why Kane? Is it Spurs loyalties? And I was like, no, I genuinely believe that Spurs will score the most goals this game week. And they did.
Yeah, top the league.
So I got it right in that respect. It's just I won the wrong Spurs player. And at this moment, there's an opportunity to not be on the wrong Spurs player. Going into the Chelsea game, I have the opportunity to be on no Spurs players, which I'll hate. But coming out of that, I'll be able to get on the right Spurs player.
Cool. All right. We'll look at our bus teams in just a second as well for game week two. A quick browse through my team. I'm pretty happy with how it started.
1.5.
69 points. I'm happy with that.
Just the 4.5 million ahead of me.
Yeah, I know. Shit, yeah. Anyone on Twitter at the minute talking about, oh, I've got a rank, just shut up. I'm not overall rank at this stage. You don't even need to talk about it for 5 or 6 weeks and then we might start talking about it, right? But a couple of picks that have come off for me. Trippier, obviously, again, with the Perisic thing happening on deadline day. I've got to thank the FPL Twitter community for that and getting Trippier in. Martinelli, for me, is starting to look like a bit of a gift. I hear your Smith Rowe. I know that he's going to come back at some stage and that might give Martinelli a bit of a cause for concern. But look, he scored Arsenal's first goal of the new season. We happen to also be watching the All or Nothing Arsenal documentary at the moment.
We are, yeah.
This kid's a talent, Martinelli. He's a talent. He honestly is. And you see a bit more behind the scenes of the Arsenal documentary. Let's not give it away for anyone that's not watched it. But Martinelli at 6 million looks good. He looks really, really good. Jesus, not panicking. There's Haaland there with the 10, but I think that was 13 because he got the bonus points. I think Cancelo's bonus points need to be added as well. And I got the captaincy right. I mean, could I have gone Haaland? Yes. Will I be going Haaland next week? Maybe. Talk about that in a second. But Salah captain, yeah, good, right? Good. It could have been very different because Salah got, you know, a tap in, frankly. He and Darwin almost got in each other's way. So on another day, Salah doesn't get anywhere near the 12-pointer and it's not quite such a happy scoreline. But 69, happy. Yeah, happy. That is a very solid start. I thought Ward was going to get a clean sheet at one stage. They look good for a clean sheet, Leicester, for a while.
That's another one that's really annoying me because I did not want to own Jesus, as you'll remember.
Yeah.
I wanted to own Tony and I got the fear of not having Jesus because he was 70% owned by that point. And I was like, oh, I can't go into game without you. So I took Tony out and put Jesus in. again, I wouldn't change it because it still felt the right thing to do. But it is frustrating because I did call Tony in pre-season as one that I thought would have a good start to the season, and he has.
Totally. But listen,
And your Josh De Silva pick from earlier on in the season.
Oh, goodness me. I was banging on a bloody TikTok about Josh De Silva all summer.
He was your differential for the Premier League article that we did as well.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think he's going to have a good season. And I've said it all summer, right? And in the end, I went with Andreas Pereira. And by the way, I didn't see anything in that Fulham Liverpool game to suggest that I've made the wrong decision, because Pereira looks very good.
Bailey to Silva.
I could do, and that would free up a bit of cash. I've got $500,000 in the bank anyway, so an extra million somewhere would be very nice, no doubt about it. Quick super chat from Liam. Liam is saying, "Hey, Lee and Sam, it was a pleasure meeting you on Friday."
Oh,
Liam, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you too. I know we had to come a long way actually from Bristol. So I hope you got home okay, Liam, on the Saturday night, mate. But it was very nice to see you. So there's my team, Sam. What's good about it, I would suggest, going into bus teams for game week two, is that I'm pretty happy to have Haaland in place already. I can now make a more proactive transfer. And I've got, again, when I was building my team for game week one, I absolutely had game week two in mind. And I looked at it and I thought, well, Liverpool got Palace at home, Man City have got Bournemouth at home, and Arsenal have got Leicester at home. That's going to be the core of my team. And in game week one, they've all got tricky-ish looking fixtures. Liverpool away at Fulham. We saw City have got away at Arsenal. Arsenal away at Palace, City at West Ham. So all three of those teams are away. But do I think they could get something? Yes, I do think that they could. And in game week two, I backed them to do really, really well, because I wanted to get to game week two and not have to make a transfer, because I want to roll it. And here we are, having consolidated reasonably well with the 69 in game week one. I've now got my three Liverpool in place. Don't get me wrong. I think, as I said before, a few weeks down the line, it might be three different Liverpool. But right now, I'm going with those three. I've got my three City in place, ready for the massacre at Bournemouth, which I'm hoping is going to happen. And I've got my two Arsenal in place with Jesus and Martinelli. Bailey, I think I'm going to give another chance at home to Everton. Andreas against Trippier is the decision I'm starting to get my head round at the minute. And I noticed in your bus team, you've gone the other way. You're playing Trippier, for those listening on the podcast. And I'm going for Andreas against Wolves. But overall, I'm kind of happy with it. I think that team looks okay for game week two. And on that basis, we'll talk about captaincies in a minute for game week two. I'm not currently thinking that I'm going to make a transfer. I'm probably going to roll it. What about your team? For those listening on the podcast, it's Edison in goal and Cancelo at the back, as you said before. Cash, Trent and Trippier. It's Salah, Bailey, Diaz and Rashford in the middle. And then Kane and Jesus. You have already made the transfer, Kane to Haaland. So you've got Haaland in place. What else are you saying about your team?
I mean, I built my team slightly differently to you, in that I always knew that there was a potential that I was making the Kane to Haaland move this week. If Kane had scored in game week one, I'd have found it very hard to sell him.
Yes.
But because of Kane's positioning and the way that he didn't return in game week one, what Haaland did do, it was a very easy decision to make. So I've made that choice already. That's done. The rest of them I'm reasonably happy to give another round to. I think Cash and Bailey in particular, yes, they had a very poor start to the season, but home fixture this time around against an Everton team who, wow, I mean, with Cash, if Cash concedes against Everton with no attackers, then I'll give up.
The Everton attack did look pretty toothless, I have to say. Yeah.
I mean, they got basically had blessing. They had Anthony Gordon in attack, and Anthony Gordon is not a forward. And then Bailey the same. I think, you know, defensively, Everton looked okay, but they're vulnerable from Pickford's mistakes that he likes to make, and obviously they've got the injury now as well, so a bit weaker at the back as well, Everton, going into this one. So I'm happy with them two-ish. Rashford definitely is going to get this game against Brentford. If he doesn't return against Brentford, he will be my out after game week two, I'm pretty sure.
Cool, very good. Quick super chat from G. Thank you, G, for the super chat. Mahrez is Pep's go-to for the Champions League. He's the best player to have until the Champions League. More points than Foden and Grealish last season. Only player to be given a 3-year contract by Pep after 30. I hear you, Z, but I still don't think that he is a go-to player for him in the Premier League, and therefore, from an FPL perspective, I'm not going to go near Mahrez. Any thoughts on Mahrez, potentially, with Bournemouth up next?
No, I'm very happy with my double attack, with my double defence.
Okay, all right. Talk to me about captaincy then for next week. So
torn, very torn.
This was your bus team before you sensationally made that transfer at the beginning of the stream, which I'm still getting my head around. but you do now have Haaland in
very
your team.
Torn.
You have hit the button. So now what are you saying about captaincy?
Don't know.
Mm.
Before I came on here, I was doing some I was writing an article for Brighton, and the stats for Salah against Crystal Palace are yet again outstanding. Returns in 6 of the last 7 meetings against them, averages 10.85 points per match against them. Liverpool will want to perform well in their first home match of the season. We were at the Liverpool Crystal Palace game last year. Liverpool were excellent.
Got a good record, Salah against Palace.
Very good, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that Klopp will want a reaction out of Liverpool after their performance against Fulham.
Yes.
So I like the Salah pick. I also like that it's Monday night. So it's right at the end of the game week. You feel a bit more like, you know, there's hope. There's always hope when you've got a Monday night captain. And then there's Haaland, who has got, on paper, which seems an easy fixture, but Bournemouth were actually good in game week one. We didn't really talk about them, but they had a good game in game week one against Villa. Performed well. He did get a brace. He is the focal point of that City attack. I'm very on the fence. It's a very 50-50 between those two, and I don't think I'll decide until right at the death. But at the moment, now that Haaland is in my team, I'll put the vice on him, and I think I'll hand Salah the armband.
Do you know what? Up until the game week... So I always had... So it was Haaland, right? Game week two captain. That's one of the main reasons I got him over Kane, was that I wanted that game week two captaincy. And I fancy them against Bournemouth to go big, right? And I agree with you. Bournemouth looked all right at
home.
They
looked okay.
No doubt about it.
They'll struggle at the Etihad, but they looked okay.
Yeah. But if you look at the next three for Bournemouth, you can see maybe why Scotty Parker went in with that game and was just like, right, we got to win this.
Yeah, it's a hard
because they've
season.
Got, I think they've got us and City and maybe Arsenal. Their next three are ridiculous, Bournemouth. So they had to get something out of that Villa game, and they did. Fair play. Going to the Etihad, as you say, is an altogether different proposition. And one of the reasons I had Haaland was that game week two captaincy.
Yep.
I have to say, I totally agree with you on the reaction thing.
Yeah.
Klopp's post match comments I wouldn't say they were scathing, but he absolutely
he was not happy.
And even Robertson, you could see when Robertson did a bit of a post-match as well, both of them were like, listen, that was not good enough.
No.
It was not good enough. And it wasn't, right? And I'm not taking anything away from Mitch or Alford, and they were good. But we were absolutely awful in terms of attitude and the way that we applied ourselves in that first half.
Yeah.
And Klopp will absolutely want a reaction. And we're going to go at home, Monday evening, under the lights, first home game of the season, and Klopp's going to be in their ear, right? They dare not, in my opinion, play like that again.
They will not play like
that. And if they turn up against Palace and play like they should play, we should beat Palace fairly comfortably, and therefore you'd expect Salah to be in the points. Now, I've set myself up for a fall there. Someone clip that, right? But if we get the reaction from that Klopp is demanding, and that he usually gets when he asks for one, let's see. The only thing in my head is, what Liverpool do we see? No Thiago, probably, by the way, because he's done his hamstring. Out for not sure how long yet, but we've got to see. So he's going to be playing Harvey Elliott, possibly, or Curtis Jones. No Thiago in midfield. Are we going to see Darwin? And therefore, are we going to see maybe less of an output for Salah and for Diaz, based on my theory before? I don't know.
The team that Klopp trusts the most to get a reaction. So if that means that Darwin comes as a super sub off the bench for this one because he really trusts Bobby, because Bobby is the system and the thing that Liverpool are used to, and the ability for him to drop and allow Diaz and allow Trent and allow Robbo and Salah to do the things that they do, then that's what Klopp will do.
Will Darwin start this game?
Based on the performance he put in against Fulham, I think he should start the game. Based on Klopp's comments before the game about language barriers and learning and bedding in and what we normally see with Klopp and the kind of gentle ease in of players, maybe he comes on as an impact sub again.
I think he plays. Bobby doesn't look...
Bobby's not fully fit, I don't think.
He still needs a bit of match fitness.
Yeah.
I don't know whether this possible move away is kind of affecting him a little
bit. No, it's Bobby Firmino.
I don't know.
I don't think Bobby Firmino is affected by this stuff. He goes out and he gives 100%. And I think he did give 100% in that game. I just don't think he's match fit.
Okay. Well, listen, at the moment, my bus team has got Haaland captain. I don't think I'm going to change that.
See, I'm
pretty sure it's going to be Haaland.
At the moment, I'm
I can see why there'd be a conversation now.
I'm 55 on Salah, 45 on Haaland. That's where I am.
God, you're really split, aren't you?
I'm really torn, which means I'll get it wrong because I am really... It's always one of them. When I'm really torn on it,
love it.
It doesn't go well.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, listen, just before we go, guys, a quick shout out for all of our new patrons that have joined us. Since we were last here, we've had a number join us, actually, since we were last here last Sunday. So thank you for anyone that's joined at either the Ohana $3 tier, the Manager of the Month $5 tier, or the $10 Zoom tier, patreon.com/FPL family. If you fancy just a little bit more Lee and Sam FPL family in your lives outside of the Sunday live stream, which will always be free, 100%. But if you fancy a bit of a bonus podcast, if you fancy a bit of a Manager of the Month competition, if you fancy joining our Slack and having a bit of match day banter with about 120, 130...
And listening to Size Bets.
Like if you want to listen to Size Bets, then get over to patreon.com/FPL family where you can come and support us at any one of the three tiers and get a little bit more FPL family in your life. And thank you to everyone that's done that in the last week or so. Sam, what have we got coming up this week? Lots and lots happening this week, including...
Your birthday!
It is my birthday.
It's our wedding anniversary today. Do you like our commitment? Do you like our commitment? 12 years we've been married today. My mum said, shall we have the kids overnight so you can go out for dinner? And we were like, no. It's Sunday night. It's FPL family.
Sam, there's 1,102 people, according to my OBS, watching. That, guys, and it's our anniversary today. We've been married 12 years today. If that's not worth a like, guys, I don't know what is. I don't know what is.
And it's Lee's birthday on Tuesday.
And it's my birthday Tuesday, so I'm well looking forward to that. But we've got loads of FPL content as well coming up in the next week or so in the lead up to game week 2. Talk us through the week.
So tomorrow morning, Lee and Diani are... Diani? Gianni.
Him as well.
Rewind. Tomorrow morning, Lee and Gianni are recording the first ever Off the Bench podcast.
I am buzzing for this, by the way. This is going to be great, by the way.
So Off the Bench is the new Premier League podcast for this
season.
It's an additional podcast.
As well as extra podcast for you guys.
So obviously we announced earlier on this summer that I'm doing every episode of the main FPL pod for the Premier League this year with a guest every week. And Lee will be on there sometimes, as will some of the other experts for the community. But Off the Bench podcast is just experts. So every week there will be two experts that are on Off the Bench. So this week it's Lee and Gianni. They will be talking through game week one, all of the big talking points, what that means for us as FPL managers, and starting kind of reflecting on game week one with the thought of starting to look ahead to game week two. So that on Thursday, Jules and Kelly and I, with our guest for this week, can pick up what you guys have kind of highlighted in this pod. So it's very exciting.
Off the Bench podcast.
So it will be 24 hours after the deadline. So this week, after the final game, sorry. So this week it's on Monday morning, the record. Next week, obviously, with the Monday night game, it will be Tuesday morning that it's being recorded.
And where can the guys find this podcast? If you are already subscribed to the official FPL
you
podcast,
will, get news.
Will it pop up
yes.
in your feed
yes.
on Spotify and all the rest of it?
It will indeed.
Excellent. Okay,
and,
it, good.
And if you aren't already subscribed, then subscribe to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Because then you'll get double podcasts in your ears every week, which is super exciting and something that we've been talking about with the Premier League for a little while, about how it'd be really nice to have a bit more of a review, because often by the time you get to the main pod on Thursday, you really are already in the next stage and you don't kind of look back at all.
You're already thinking about the next game,
right?
Because
we're a day away or what have you.
But this is me and Gianni chatting about the weekend.
Chatting the breeze.
Shooting the breeze. With Gianni, who better to do that with?
Exactly.
Than Gianni Battici.
So that's super exciting. And then, of course, on Thursday, I'll be recording the main FPL pod, which will be out Thursday lunchtime.
Absolutely, very good.
So be able to listen to that. And then, of course, we announced this week, or the last week, that we will be doing the Sky Sports stuff this year.
Yes.
Which is very,
very
exciting.
Very excited for that.
So
excited.
That will start as well.
What is the Sky Sports thing? Just in case anybody's not heard about that.
So Sky Sports brilliantly have adapted their game content this year. And you'll have heard it on Soccer Saturday with
Jeff Stelling doing his team.
They were talking about their team. And Sky Sports News on a Saturday morning were talking about FPL points. And on Friday, for those of you that didn't see it, I've got Gianni on the brain.
Well, haven't we all?
I mean,
what a good looking gentleman.
A handsome man.
Absolutely.
We've got so
he'll love that, by the way. He'll be clipping
that.
He will
be clipping that. Well, Ed will be clipping that anyway and using it. General, both begin with a G. You see where I was going with it.
Yes.
Gentleman Holly did the first one on Friday morning, and they basically looked at the game week, talking about the big hitters. They showed their teams, that sort of thing. So you find that on Sky Sports News. It'll be on the day of the deadline every week. So whichever day the deadline is, you'll find it
that morning. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you've got access to Sky Sports News, and I know most of you in the UK will have access to Sky Sports News, yes, there is going to be some FPL content coming at you via Sky Sports News on the deadline day. So in this week, for game week two, it's Saturday. So look out for that in the morning. We'll be tweeting, obviously, as that goes along, and when who's on and what time we're on and all that sort of stuff. So look out for us on Sky Sports. And of course, if you are a patron follower of ours over on patreon.com/FPL family, you will get the Ohana podcast.
Yay.
Ohana means family in some other language that I've forgotten. Hawaiian,
Ohana,
I think.
Ohana means family.
Ohana means family.
Family means nobody's left behind.
Correct.
There's a quote from Lilo and Stitch there for you all.
There we go.
Fans.
Perfect. So the Ohana podcast will be out every Friday. We'd put that out every Friday exclusively for our patron followers. So get in the links below in the description of the video.
Why is that picture of your TikTok again?
The TikTok is going unreal, by the way. I am loving a TikTok.
Okay.
Anybody follow me over on TikTok, thank you very much. We've just gone over, I think, about 1,250 on TikTok.
Shout out to the FPL graduates, who Lee was loving at first.
Those boys are brilliant, by the way. They went over 100,000 followers on TikTok. Do you know how mental that is? 100,000 followers. That is so
Lee
good, FPL
was
graduates.
Like... Lee was like a fanboy, right?
I was.
He sees these guys 100% at the bar, and then he's there, and I'm like, who's he smoothing up to over there? And I walk over, and he's like, Sam, have you met the graduates? And I was like, yes. And then they were making TikToks at Fest, which I've noticed they've put out because it's also on their Instagram. So lovely to meet you, FPL graduates.
Yeah.
It's lovely to meet you.
100,000.
Lee was very
excited. It's unreal.
He's taken
unreal.
A lot of inspiration.
And by the way, Harry's in the chat. Also very good at TikTok.
Harry's a legend.
Very good at TikTok. And I've noticed, actually, that when you do a TikTok, it saves the TikTok video on your phone and then you can upload it as a YouTube short.
Oh, God, it's been
so great. I'm now doing YouTube shorts as well. So if you're not subscribed to FPL Family yet, and I know there's over 1,000 of you still in the chat, some of you won't be subscribed to FPL Family, which is unthinkable.
Why?
Right? If you aren't, now's the time, because I'm getting proper into YouTube shorts. And if you want these kind of, we do these Insta reactions on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram. I will do it on TikTok as well. Every game that I watch,
what
I do
an Insta.
What are
you calling it?
I don't know yet. The TikTok take is dead.
You're not loving the alliteration.
The TikTok take, I think, is dead. I need to come up with a better name.
You can't call them Insta reactions because that's an
Insta reaction. No, because that's Instagram, Insta reaction. But yeah. I need to come up with a better name for my TikTok and YouTube shorts videos.
Put it in the comments, guys, if you can help him out.
Yeah, there we go.
If Harry's in, Harry, just little spoiler alert, Harry and I are going to be doing Off the Bench together in a few weeks' time, and I...
Oh, is Harry going to be the official?
With me.
Let's go!
Literally can't wait!
Let's go.
Actual podcast with Harry. That's what dreams are made of.
David Manuel is saying, love the reaction TikToks. Yes, David.
David!
Yes.
Please, God, stop this, guys. He's 37. He's going to be 38 on Tuesday. And he shouldn't be on TikTok.
I can be wherever I want to be. And if I want to be on TikTok, I will be. A few of you in the chat asking about the official FPL show. There is, unfortunately, no official FPL show this season. They are not doing it. So we are not going to be featuring on the FPL show this season. They're not going to do that show. But hopefully, the Sky Sports stuff, the extra podcast, the TikTok... There will be plenty of opportunity for you guys to see us.
You still have too much
out
of
there
us.
On your TV screen. So there we go, guys. Thank you very much for joining us here on the first proper, let's call it, FPL family of the season. We've done the build up to game week one. We've done the drafts. We've done the predictions. We've done all that. But now here we are for 38 game weeks, getting stuck in every single Sunday with you guys at 8:30 every Sunday, reviewing the weekend's action. So, guys, we had loads of you in tonight. Over 1,000 people in.
Unbelievable.
So leave us a like before you go. If you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button. And I will see you over on TikTok. Guys, good luck in game week two. And we'll see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Green arrows, guys.